I feel led to say to you this morning, help is on the way in Jesus' name. Will you receive it? Come on, let's say it together. Help is on the way in Jesus' name. So good to be speaking again this morning. Good to be back with you. I'm just looking around here to see who's in church. Missed you guys. There has been some, come on, service hosts, come on down if you would. If you did not receive an outline when you came in, unashamedly, just lift up your hands and get something to help you follow along with this morning. I have been so fed and blessed by hearing from the different pastors in our church and just coming off of this series, Shift. Just, in fact, I want to piggyback on that a little bit this morning, Shift, a shift in our thinking and in our minds and hearts. Good to be with you. Our church, we've been planning all summer. Can you believe summer's almost over? It's just, what happened? But we've been planning all summer because the church year, if you don't already know this, our church year begins the last week in August when our school kicks in, our preschool all the way up through high school. We've been the church calendar making plans. And we're kicking off our year celebrating in September. The entire month of September, we're going to be celebrating our 35th birthday as a church. We've got all kind of things planned. And so it's just throughout the summer, we've been planning these next 12 months and just all kind of just exciting things. Again, I'm glad you're here in God's house this morning. I want to talk to you this morning. And really, I believe the Lord, the Spirit of God wants to speak to us, and He's speaking to me as well, so I'm going to be listening to Him as He speaks. Here's the title, if you have your note sheet out, you have your Bibles ready, is the most powerful, I want to talk to you about the most powerful, the most influential speech that's ever been made. And it is not, let me just say, it's not what you probably think it is. This speech didn't come from Jesus, didn't come from many just incredible Martin Luther's I Have a Dream speech. All those speeches pale in comparison to this one speech. You ready? Let's dive in a little bit and see if we can find it. We're going to pick up a story in Matthew. You have your notes there in Matthew chapter 9, and we'll see if we can't discover this together. There was a woman. You with me? Everyone with me? I'm looking around to see if you checked in yet. Okay, here we go. There was a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for how long?
12 years.
12 years. If it's up there, you can go ahead and just read God's word with me. She was suffering for 12 years. She, who came up behind Jesus, that's the hem, and touched the fringe of his cloak. For, say this next phrase with me if you would, for she was saying to herself, let's say it again, for she was saying to her, let's try it one more time, for she was saying to herself, what was she saying? She was saying, if I only touch his garment, I will get what? Come on, let's say it together. Let's say this phrase, I will get well. Some of us just need to say that. Just stop right now and say that. I will get well. Doesn't that feel good? Let's say it again. I will get well. In fact, that I will get well translates the Greek verb sozo, which means I will be saved. You know, I was talking to a brother and he said I was driving down the road with one of my friends and we saw this bumper sticker that said Jesus saves. And his friend said, Jesus saves from what? You think that's a good question? What does salvation mean? I want to submit to you that salvation means much more than just the forgiveness of sins. If that's your view of Christianity, it's just a ticket into heaven and forgiveness of sins. There's a whole bunch more to it. Saved from all kind of things. Saved also includes my healing. I can be saved from a life without purpose. I can be saved from a life without destiny, without clarity. Saved. Jesus is a savior of all kind of ways. So she says that if I can just get near him, I'll be saved. I'll be delivered. I'll be helped. For her, it meant I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be saved. If I can just get close enough to Jesus. Now, let's pick it up. But Jesus, so she's saying this to herself, Jesus turning and seeing her said, daughter, what? Take courage, your faith has made you well. At once, the woman was made well. So this woman kept saying to herself over and over, if I just get close enough, I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be helped, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to move away, if I can just get close enough to Jesus, what she kept saying to herself, I'm going to move away from being stuck. I've been stuck for 12 years. But if I can get close enough to Him, I'm going to move away from being stuck, and I'm going to move to a place of having a hope and a future. I want to stop right here at the very beginning and ask you, what are you saying to yourself? We get a glimpse of what this woman was saying to herself, but what are you saying to you? What do you say? Now, here's a suggestion. We're just going to start here, and then we're going to unpack it. I don't want you just to mindlessly just go through, but I want you to engage. You can disagree with me, but have reasons for doing so. I want you to engage. Here's my suggestion, that the most powerful, most influential words in a person's life are actually words that are not spoken. They are internal. It's what we call self-talk. In other words, here's a suggestion. The most influential, the most powerful speech ever made is the one you hear yourself saying to you. The most powerful, most influential speech is the one you hear yourself saying. Now, we're just going to deep dive right here. Why? Why are the words that we say to ourselves that aren't spoken out loud, why are they so powerful? I'm going to draw all my remarks, for those who are new, I'm going to draw all my remarks from the first, those two or three sentences we just read from the Gospel of Matthew and this account of this woman. We're going to pull everything from there. Why are they so important? Number one, they are so powerful and so influential because the words that we say to ourselves have the ability to alter things that happen to us and around us. I'd sure like to change some things in my life. Okay, where are you going to start? Well, I'd like to start with so-and-so. I'd like to start here. How about start, the first place to start is to ask yourself, what's going on the inside? What is the internal conversation that you're having with yourself that will impact the external? Let's go back to the story here. Why did this woman who was sick for how long? Help me out. How long? Why did this woman who was sick for 12 years, by the way, Matthew not only tells us about this account, but Mark tells us about this story, and we get Luke's account. We have three different witnesses telling us about this story. Now, we can be pretty sure that this story actually happened. Three different people telling us. In Mark, he actually gives us some more biographical information about this woman. He says not only was she sick for 12 years, but she had been to every doctor she could possibly go to and didn't get better. She had spent all the money and all the resources she had. She had nothing left. In fact, she wasn't getting better. She was getting worse. Now, that's the situation she was in. So why did she... In light of all of that, what caused her to push through a crowd of people surrounding Jesus and to say, if I can just reach out and touch his clothes, just the end of his clothes, I can be made well? Why? Why did she do that? Let's go right back to Scripture. There's a little preposition that says why. It says for. Why did she do that? For she was, come on, help me out. What's the Scripture say? I'm not making that. For she was what? Saying to her self. What she was saying to herself caused her to push through all that negativity. What she was saying to herself caused her to push through 12 years of being stuck. What she was saying to herself caused her to try something that was new. I've tried everything else, but I've heard about Jesus. And so I'm going to try this as well, what she was thinking. You see, actions in your notes, actions and behaviors flow out of something. They flow out of what we are telling ourselves. Our lives follow what we expect. That was a good place for somebody to say amen, Pastor. Or someone to say staff, someone to say that. I'm looking around here. I'm going to say it again. Our lives follow what we expect. It's called the expectancy effect. Now different studies have shown this out. I mean, this isn't just in Scripture, but for example, there was a study done on elementary kids, and they brought some teachers in. They said they identified 20% of the class and gave them the names of students, that these students showed real signs of intellectual progress and growth. These are the ones that had the most potential just to be superstars in their class. And they told the teachers which ones they were. And after 9 months of pouring themselves into it, they went and studied those kids. And sure enough, they far excelled the rest of the class. The only problem is that these kids, there was no exception to them. They were just ordinary kids. Ordinary, average kids that were excelling. What was different? What was different was the thinking of the teachers. It's the expectancy effect. It altered the way I lived my life and behaved and treated students. And in the same way, our actions and behaviors, our destinies will flow out of what we are, the conversation that we're having with ourselves. That's the insight there. If we will, now here's the challenge before I get to this insight. Some of us right now, and I'm wrestling with thinking right now, I know it, every single morning, some of us have been consumed and focused on the wrong things. And we need to take a step back and stop and say, wait a second, what am I telling myself? I'm not going to start with the external circumstances, situation, this relationship, that. I'm going to start right here and in my own mind and my heart. What am I telling? Here's the insight. If we will correct our inner speech, we can alter our destinies. Proverbs 4 and 23, we've been referring to this verse in this whole series on shift, but consider what the scriptures say. If it's up there, read it with me. Be careful what you, what? Come on, that's awful weak. Have we had our coffee yet? You doing all right? Pastor, you start off too fast. I'm still catching up with you. You're running. I'm catching up. Come on, let's read it together. Be careful what you think. Why? My inner speech. Oh, here we go again. It's just another church service. Won't make much big deal. Okay. It probably won't be a big deal. And so Jesus says, let it be according to your faith. We'll talk about that just a little bit. If I can change my inner conversation, what I'm telling myself, have the potential to start changing my external realities. Be careful what you think, Proverbs 4:23. Look at the very next verse. This is verse 23. Look what the very next verse, verse 24, says this. Never say anything that what? It's not just the words coming out of your mouth. Are you telling yourself in here the most powerful speech you can have are words that aren't spoken? They're inside words. So what are you telling? Are you telling? Some of us in here, you would never say an outside lie, but we're telling ourselves lies all the time inside. And it's got us hung up. Never say what's not true. Now, I want to stop right here and do a little exercise. Let's take a minute. Right now, we're going to do an exercise. Take a minute and think about what you've already said to yourself today. Now, stop. Get your pens out. I know you don't verbalize them. You haven't told anybody else. But what have you told yourself today? I'm fat. I'm ugly. I don't look good in these clothes. I'm not smart enough. You know, that's one that I can find myself saying, I can't hang with these people. They're smarter than I am. I'll never get married. I'll never get well. My best days are behind me. She's or he's out of my league. I'll never fall in love again. They don't like me. I don't fit in. Why did I say that? I'm such an idiot. I'm stuck. This is my lot in life. I just settle. Just meddle through somehow. And God's word comes along and says, never say anything that isn't true. Be careful. The literal translation is guard your heart. What's he talking about? Your thoughts. Because my life, my marriage, my relationship with my kids, my career, my trajectory, whether it's going to go up or just kind of flat or go down, all of it's going to flow out of the way that I'm thinking. You see, Christianity, as I said earlier, is not just simply about, you know, get my ticket into heaven or get my sins forgiven. Christianity is a transformation in a life through correct thinking. It's correcting my mind and my thoughts. So Romans 12, 2, a passage we've been referring to in this whole series. Look at it. This is one sentence. I want us to say this first sentence together. Let's say it together. Let God transform you by a... Now, how many know that first word, let, is a big word? You don't have to have this. I mean, we began a service saying help is on the way. But just because help is on the way doesn't mean I'll receive that help. Let God transform you by a complete change of the way that you think. Now, I want us to stop right now, turn to somebody, and say that one sentence. Say that to them. Let God. Now, hold on. Let me give some further instructions. Some of you are just like, if you're not sitting near someone or you're uncomfortable saying that to someone, I want you to point your finger at me because I need to hear it too. I'm looking around here for somebody. Here, you point your finger at me, and you say it to me, I'm going to say it to you. If you're sitting next to someone, I want you to look them in the eye, and you tell them. Ready? Here we go. Let God transform you by a complete change. Some are so struggling with that. I can't remember. I refuse to be transformed or changed. We need to hear it again. Let's try it again. Let God transform you by a complete change. Are you open to that? No, really. Really. Let God. I just want to stop right now, Lord. Help us. Help us, Holy Spirit, for that to be true. That we would allow you to transform us into something, Lord, that we only dreamed about as you start to work with the way that we think. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let God transform you. See, in your notes, Christianity is really an abundant life, an excelling life that is flowing out of a mind that's being renewed. That's being renewed. It doesn't happen just on a 30 minutes in one Sunday. But it takes my entire life. I'm giving my life. This is my vocation to help us just week in and week out. My mind is being renewed and it's transforming my life. And I'm committed to this for the long haul, Lord. Renew the way that I think. So the second reason why the internal talk is the most powerful speech that we'll ever hear, and this might be the most astonishing one, is that what we say to ourselves has more weight and influence with God than what we verbalize. or what we vocalize. Here's a thought. This woman did not verbalize a prayer. She didn't say anything with her mouth. And yet her prayer was answered. She kept saying to herself, there it is. She kept saying to herself, it was unseen, it wasn't heard, it was just inside. The app running in the background of her life is, Jesus can change anything. If I can just get close enough to Jesus, I'll get well. And this was just running. The app that was running in the back of her mind wasn't, I'm stuck and I'll just have to stay this way. No. She would say, Jesus can change this situation. And lo and behold, the crazy thing is, someone was listening to her thoughts. Someone was listening to wordless prayer. Someone was listening to faith. Faith always gets the attention of God. We're going to talk about that in a second. Faith always gets the attention of God. Someone was listening to her. It's interesting. If you slow down a little bit and as you read the gospel accounts, Matthew, the witnesses of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that Jesus rarely responds to people's words that they're saying out loud. He's always responding to what they're thinking. I don't have time. I'm just going to give you one example. In Luke 6, the teachers, this is Luke's account, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they came to church, and they're coming to church to do what? Pastor Charlie, I have no idea. Well, they were coming to synagogue, and they were coming to watch Jesus closely. They were coming with a critical spirit and attitude in their minds, their thoughts, their hearts were already made up. And they were coming to see if Jesus did anything wrong. He might try to heal or do something on the Sabbath, and we know that's not right. And some of us, by the way, quite frankly, we come into church all the time with all kinds of things running in the background of our minds. We can be saying out loud, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. He split the sea so I could walk right through it. And the Lord is listening not so much to the words coming out of our mouth, but He's listening to the thoughts of our heart. And that's where He responds. Listen, He listens to and responds to our thoughts, to the reality of what we're thinking, not necessarily just our words. Why? Why is that, Pastor Charlie? Because, let's be honest, not everything we say out loud is true. I mean, we've grown up a little bit, right? We've learned to filter some things. So we'll say things out loud, but the reality, what we're thinking, is down in here. How many appreciate kids? Because they haven't learned that yet. And I'll just give you just one example. I drive people around all the time, meetings in my truck, and just a couple weeks ago, I'm in my truck, get Jude in there. Well, actually, it was still in school last year. And we're heading to school, and I look in the rearview mirror, and Jude's back there going, he's acting like he's dying, being overly dramatic. I'm like, Jude, we're driving, what's wrong, Jude? He's like, your truck stinks so bad. I'm like, Jude, stop. It doesn't stink in here. Stop. He's like, hold on. The whole way to school, he would not stop. And I opened the door, got to go, stinks so bad. I'm really irritated. I'm like, Jude, it doesn't stink. It smells fine, like a truck. It's fine. So a couple of days later, I'm like, starting to wonder, does my truck stink? I think my truck might stink. So I had some people in a car. We were going to a meeting, and I said, honestly, I leaned over to one of us, and we're driving. I said, does my truck smell? And he was like, yeah, it kind of does. I was like, really? And come to find out, I had been taking the mat that I work out on, sweat on, and just and rolling it up and stuffing it under the back seat of my truck. And it was generating some odors. And thank God Jude just didn't know any better. He's like, it's awful. I'm thinking of all the people I was driving in there, and the mat's like right underneath them. They're like, hey, everything's great. It's great. I'm wondering, where are we going to go eat? That's great. So we've learned, we've grown up, we know how to come to church, right? We know the words to say. We know how to, we know the prayers to pray. We know the song to sing. We know when to stand, when to sit. You know, you be respectful. I call this churchianity. But and we might call it religion. It's just powerless. It's lifeless. It's just going through the motions. The thing is with churchianity is it never moves the heart of God. It never causes Jesus to stop and say, wait a second. Wow, you really believe. And I can see it not just in the words, but in the thoughts of your heart. So let it be to you according to your faith. And the power and the grace and the strength of God comes on to her life, and she moves from being a place of being stuck to into a new place in her life. Here's a secret there in your notes. God listens to and responds to the words we don't speak. He responds to our thinking. Christianity is bringing what we're telling ourselves into alignment with what God is telling us. If that's correct, huh? Don't raise your hands, but I'll just confess for a lot of times I'm falling way short of Christianity. Let me say it again. Christianity is bringing what we're telling ourselves into alignment with what God is telling us. What is God telling you? Let me suggest some things God's telling you. God's telling you that He is better than you ever dreamed or imagined He could be. God is better than what you were led to or taught to believe in your past church. What's God telling you? God's saying, you were created in my image. But Lord, I don't feel very, very handsome or beautiful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made perfect. What's God saying? God's saying, I love you. God so loved the world. He sent His Son. Now, I want to ask you this other question. What does God hear when He listens to your thoughts? Here's another way we might say it. What if God said, you know what? What you think really on the inside, deep down, in the conversation you're having with yourself, that's what I'm going to give you. What does God hear when He listens to your thoughts? Does He hear things like this? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to change it up a little bit. I will do all things through Christ who who strengthens me. Does he hear? I'm a daughter of God. I'm royalty. I have an unfair advantage in any situation I go into because I know people. Does he hear thoughts like, you know what, my chances of success have moved from a mere possibility to a probability in Christ? God's my Father. Does the Lord hear, that door shut on me, or I had a setback, but the setback must be just a setup, because God my Father must be going to open up another door for me. And that app is running in the back of my mind, and Jesus is looking for faith. In our thoughts, which brings us to number three, why are these unspoken words so important? It's important because our faith is revealed not in the words that we say out loud, but in the words that we tell ourselves. Our faith is revealed not in the words that we're saying out loud, but in the words that we're telling ourselves. She kept telling herself, if I can just get near to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. And the Lord looked at her and said, oh, take courage. Your faith. What do you mean faith, Lord? What faith? You don't hear it. It's on the inside of her. It's where I listen. I don't listen like everyone else listens. I'm listening to the conversation she's having on the inside, and she believes in me. And your faith has made your confidence, your trust in God. We know this scripture very well, Hebrews 11:6. I just want to look at it again. It is impossible, read it with me if it's up there, it is impossible to please God without what? Without faith. Well, Pastor Charlie, how do I know if I have faith? How can I measure the level of my faith? Just stop for a moment and examine the conversation you're having with yourself on the inside. When this situation happens, or I don't get the thing that I expected to get, or this happens, what's the running conversation I have? Is it Lord, I trust you. You must have something better for me. You're setting something up, or what's happening? And we can see where our faith is. Here's the insight there in your notes. If you want to know the level of faith, examine closely what you are telling yourself. We're talking about, I read an amazing story, and it's just being unfolded in the past couple of months, but this girl, Victoria, was a healthy, vivacious swim team young girl, but at 11 years old, she got a little pain in her side. And it started getting worse and worse, and so they took her to the doctors. The doctor examined her, didn't know what was wrong, and so they took out her appendix. And then about a week later, her legs started giving out, and then she started having to drag her foot around. And then 2 weeks after she started the first signs, she lost complete feeling of her legs. She couldn't move her legs, and then her arms started to give way, and she started to lose her ability to swallow. And then she was thinking words and couldn't think the words. And just a matter of a month, she completely went black. She said it was like someone was shutting the circuit boards of her body and her mind off. And then everything went dark. 2 years later, 11-year-old, 2 years later, she said, I woke up, but I was trapped in a body that wouldn't move, my eyes wouldn't open, but I was aware. I could hear my mom, dad. Her mom and dad were people of faith. Everyone say faith. What's faith mean to you? Do you have faith? Well, Pastor Earl, I'm not sure. Examine what you're telling yourself. It'll show you. They were people of faith, and they were, during those 2 years, their daughter wasn't moving at all. They were people praying for her. Sunday morning services, turn on church service so you could hear church service. She's sitting there listening. Everything going around. Eyes not moving, just... No one knew that she was aware that they were even there. She said, I heard doctors telling my mom, your daughter is going to be a vegetable for the rest of her life. It's going in her. And she said, her own testimony, she goes, all I had to do, only person I could talk to was God. I'm not moving my mouth. I'm not verbalizing a prayer. I couldn't even lift up my hands. I just have my thoughts and I have God. And I started thanking God. All right. Thank you, God. Thank you. You're my healer. Think I can get well. Hearing her mom and dad pray for her. 1 year later, now she's 3 years, for the first time, she was able to open up her eyes. Her mom's looking at her, hasn't seen one movement at all, completely. And now her eyes are open. She looked at her and said, honey, if you're aware that I'm here, if you can hear me, blink your eyes. And she blinked her eyes. And that began the next journey of 2 years of a little twitch in her finger, learning how to swallow again, learning to lift her arms. 5 years later after that, they put her in a wheelchair. She still couldn't move from her belly button down to her legs, but everything else was working. She goes, I was so happy to be in a wheelchair. You think about that. Then she heard the doctors, she heard the experts say, get used to the wheelchair because you'll never walk again. I want to read a quote from little Victoria. Now she's like 16 years old. She said, I had already overcome the impossible. I'd woken up and relearned to live. Folks, she didn't have a working body, but she had a mind that could talk to God. Some of us in here, you have a walking body, but you're enslaved in your mind and in your thoughts. And the Spirit of God is breathing, saying, listen to, what are you saying to yourself that's impacting your reality? So Victoria, she said, I had already overcome the impossible. I'd woken up and relearned to live. My idea of what is possible had changed. So I didn't listen to the doctors when they said, you'll never walk again. Which began another painful journey of her starting to try to climb out. And she said, like 13 leg braces later, and 5 years later, now she's 21 years old, she can stand, walks, has a little limp. And she's a commentator on ESPN, the youngest one at 21 years old. A Paralympic gold medalist, indefatigable. Faith. I want to ask you, who told you that you couldn't do whatever it is that you can do? Is that coming from you? Because God says, with God, all things are. Some of you can't even say it. Come on, let's say it together. With God, all things are. That needs to be a running app in some of our minds. You need to check something and say, wait a second, with God, with Him, all things are possible. What are you telling yourself about what you can't do? What are you telling yourself about the reason why such and such happened? Victoria said, I would never choose this, but now I can see that this pain, this setback I was going through was only setting me up so I could have a voice to tell people to have hope and confidence in God. Think about that. So what have you been telling yourself about the why? Come on, let's bow our heads just right now as the Spirit and the presence and the grace and the strength of God is here. Lord, we just, come on, open up your heart just where you are. Lord, here I am. Lord, just as if it was literal cleansing water, if you were to take a rag, Lord, and just wash it over our mind and over our thoughts, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. And Lord, that you would grant a repentance. Repentance means a change of thinking, that you would grant a repentance unto life. Lord, some of us in here have been thinking, well, this is it. I'll never. Or God must be done with me. Or whatever that is. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring that into alignment with what He is saying over your life. The truth is, the best is yet to come in Jesus' name. God has not given you a spirit of fear. God gives a spirit of power, strength, love, and a sound mind, Lord. Grant it. Grant it. Lord, let faith come alive in a new way, in Jesus' name. Lord, let there be a shift in Jesus' name. We all pray. Come on, everyone said. Come on, everyone said. Amen. Amen. God bless you.